It's 11 o'clock and you're listening to Observer Radio News. I'm Kyle Koivisto with Chris Ali Trotman and Braden Keddy. In the weather, it's a rainy 5 degrees outside our East York studio. Now here are today's headlines. Dirty tricks are allegedly taking place in the federal election. Research in Motion's new playbook launches quietly in North America. And Charlie Sheen loses his custody battle. Now to our top story. Stolen campaign signs and harassing phone calls are just some of the dirty tricks that are allegedly being used in the federal election. Constituents in several ridings have complained that they received rude phone calls from people who say they're representing their local Liberal candidate. The calls originate in the North Dakota area code of 701. The phone calls come repeatedly at late hours of the night or early hours of the morning. Some Jewish residents also report being harassed while on the Sabbath. But the dirty tricks don't stop there. A Liberal campaign volunteer in Brampton was charged with possession of stolen property. Police allegedly found a number of conservative campaign signs in the back of his truck. But this isn't the first report of stolen signs, as a Liberal candidate in Nepean Carlton found almost 100 of his campaign signs vandalized earlier this month. Yesterday was the North American launch of Research in Motion's new tablet computer, the Playbook. The product ledged quietly, with little advertising and hype, especially compared to its direct competitor, the Apple iPad. Sales of the product varied by location. Some stores claimed that they did not sell a single Playbook, while others reportedly had lineups for the product and sold out within hours of opening. A majority of Playbooks were sold online to customers who pre-ordered it directly from RIM. RIM doesn't plan on revealing the sales numbers of the Playbook until the company's next earning report. The Evergreen Brickworks is one of the best places to find the graffiti in East York, and the management intends to keep it that way. As Scott Reed reports, Evergreen is fighting to maintain the site's unique aesthetic.
Now, Rob Ford wants it gone, but the staff and management at the Brickworks don't want it touched. The graffiti here at the Evergreen Brickworks has become a subject of debate since the city served notice demanding its removal. Evergreen General Manager David Stonehouse says the city's graffiti bylaws shouldn't apply to this historic site.
The bylaw that they've crafted for the whole city may well work for residential areas and retail areas and these types of areas, but it doesn't really apply to the site. The site is very unique. It's a heritage site, over 100 years old, and, you know, it really doesn't fit.
Stonehouse has been general manager for the last 8 years. He says that the graffiti is an indivisible part of the site, and removing it would be like removing a part of East York's history.
It's about the overall impact of all of the graffiti, layers upon layers of graffiti, the sense of place that you get from being in a space which is raw and authentic and historical.
Evergreen has already submitted a petition to the city to keep the graffiti intact. A final decision by the city on the fate of the graffiti will likely not be made until next year.
For many people, today's date might not have all that much significance, but for some, it's a highly anticipated holiday. April 20th, commonly referred to as 420, is the controversial holiday that celebrates stoner culture and promotes the legalization and consumption of marijuana. To celebrate, a local marijuana activist group known as the Toronto Hash Mob has organized a smokeout in Yonge and Dundas Square. The annual celebration, which has been going since 2007, is likely to attract thousands of cannabis users to the square for the two-hour event, weather permitting, that is. And that's the latest news. Now to Chris Ali Trotman for sports.
Thanks, Kyle. And hi, everyone. Last night, the Toronto Maple Leafs lost 4-1 against the Montreal Canadiens. Phil Kessel of the Leafs was able to make it to his 32nd goal for the season. This loss will make it 3 in a row for Toronto. Coach Ron Wilson of the Leafs, and I quote, says, "The way the game went left a sour taste in my mouth." The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 6-5 in a well-played game last night. Left fielder Travis Snyder saved the game in the bottom of the 10th inning by double-homing third baseman Edwin Encarnacion. This game made it a win number 7 for the Blue Jays. The NHL signed a $2 million deal with NBC yesterday. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and NBC Sports Group Chairman Dick Ebersol came to an agreement that will collaborate the two organizations for the next 10 years. The NHL received offers from ESPN, Turner, and Fox, but decided to stay with NBC, the network that has been running the NHL's games for the past 6 years. Former Blue Jay player Carlos Delgado says he just began to make plans since his retirement last week. Delgado decided to retire due to a hip injury, which he says can never allow him to play the way he did. He says his post-baseball plans are to be with his family and to do charity work for his native island, Puerto Rico. Delgado wanted to help Puerto Rico Puerto Rican baseball prospects to achieve their goals of playing in the MLB. Now stay with us after the break, and Braden will give us the news on entertainment.
I'm so sick. I have to work at the morning.
Yep, me too.
But you don't have a cold.
Oh, I sure do. But I also have NyQuil.
The sniffling, sneezing help me sleep tonight, Meditate.
Welcome back. We're here for our entertainment. While Charlie Sheen may be winning on his Torpedo of Truth tour, but he isn't when it comes to the custody battle for his kids. Sheen stepped out of his recent tour yesterday to settle the issue of whether he or his estranged wife, Brooke Mueller, would gain primary legal custody of their twin sons, Bob and Max. The judge denied Sheen's plea for custody of his boys, even with Mueller recently checking herself into rehab. Mueller made the decision for checking into rehab shortly after refusing to participate in a drug test necessary for the custody hearing. Sheen has resumed his Torpedo of Truth tour following the custody battle. And Nick Cage's arrest has not discredited him in the eyes of his current producer. Avi Lerner, producer of Cage's action flick, The Medallion, is backing up the actor following his arrest last Saturday in New Orleans. Cage allegedly had been fighting with his wife when the police came up to him to see what was happening. When he saw them, Cage told the officers to arrest him, which they promptly did. Lerner has said of Cage, and I quote, "We know he will weather this incident well. He has our total support," unquote. Cage recently had additional support last Monday when he was bailed out of jail by Dog the Bounty Hunter. The arrest did not halt production of The Medallion. And in January, the St. Patrick Catholic Secondary School in Toronto qualified for the international finals for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers Construction Challenge in Las Vegas. And as Alima Hataki reports, the team has a lot to gain from the experience.
It's late afternoon, and a drill press sends echoes through the design and technology classroom at St. Patrick's, where the engineering team works on their robot. The students must build a robot that can move and carry boxes through different types of challenging terrains. Technology teacher Joe Saponera founded the team last September. He admits that the team's success has sparked interest in his technology courses, but reasons for joining the team differ from member to member. Some come for the prizes, while others, like Daniel Espina, come out of passion.
Oh, I like tampering with stuff, opening radios, opening computers.
The winning team will win a post-secondary scholarship. Win or lose, for Saponera, the most important thing is to gain life-enriching skills.
Yeah, the skills that I try to endear in them in the extracurricular is very similar to what I do in classes. I want them to work in teams. I want them to do cooperative working, because in the real world, that's how they work.
The finals will be held in Vegas from March 21st to the 25th. 24 teams will participate in the finals, and only 3 are from Canada. Alima Hotaki, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And Michael Douglas will be repaying the hospital that discovered his throat cancer. The actor is set to host a fundraiser at Montreal's Jewish General Hospital next month. It was there that Douglas was diagnosed with throat cancer after visiting several other hospitals that couldn't find out what the problem was. The fundraiser will be on May 3rd at Le Windsor in Montreal. For anyone interested in coming out, it'll cost them about approximately $375 per plate. Douglas will be auctioning off any wealthy bidders the chance for a round of golf with him and his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Well, that's all we have for entertainment. Let's send it back to Kyle for the wrap.
Thanks, Braden. That's the news for now. You can find more news at torontoobserver.ca. Listen live at Centennial On Demand. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon.